Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Over 300 years ago in 1710, philosopher George Berkeley posed this now well-known question of intrigue in one of his books. If a tree falls in the forest, no one is around to hear it, does it really make a sound? Now, Berkeley's reason for posing this question was to present the importance of understanding the observation of facts, of truth, of reality. The challenging aspect of Berkeley's question is that it would be quite easy, yes, to answer in the affirmative, the positive, yet the tree does still make a sound. But how do you prove that? For if no one is there to actually hear it, to witness it, to observe it, can anyone be certain that it really happened? Now the answer remains yes. Due to the wealth of evidence that we have available of objects themselves and the sounds that we know they make when we do observe them in action. And we can safely conclude that just because nothing is present to observe the sound does not mean that no sound is made. Consider Jesus' resurrection. Many saw the Lord Jesus die upon the cross. They saw his dead body removed from the cross and laid into the coldness of the tomb. But no one saw him actually rise from the dead, the moment when life came back to his flesh and he exited the tomb. And what if then Jesus had risen from the dead on the third day and immediately ascended back into heaven? Would you still believe that he rose from the dead? The evidence is still good of Jesus' resurrection, even if he did not make any appearances after this major event. You still have the promises that the Lord Jesus made in his earthly ministry that he would truly rise again the third day. You have the words of the Old Testament prophecies that stated that God would not let his Holy One, the Christ, see corruption after dying, and you would still have the empty tomb. No body would be found ever if Jesus ascended into heaven right away, no matter the search, no matter the efforts for the remains of Jesus. That evidence alone would be enough to convince quite a few. Graciously, the Lord Jesus did not wish to rise from the dead and then leave no witnesses to his resurrection. Jesus made it a specific point to make many appearances following his resurrection. He remained here on this earth for 40 days after his return from the dead. For over a month's time, the Lord Jesus continued to walk upon this ground, making his resurrected presence known to the women who had supported him throughout his ministry, to his chosen disciples he called to follow after him, and even as we hear in the epistles, over 500 witnesses at one given time. If Jesus had ascended into heaven right after that first Easter morning, the disciples would have had a much more difficult time spreading the message of good news in Jesus. The story that the religious leaders were busy publicizing, that the disciples had stolen Jesus' body to claim that he rose from the dead, that would be impossible to disprove without the risen Lord Jesus remaining here upon the earth. On the other hand, how could anyone hold firmly to the disciple stole the body theory when Jesus had been seen alive and well, no longer dead, following his resurrection? Today's gospel text brings us back to that first Easter Sunday. Our Lord Jesus was quite busy that first day of the week after returning from the dead. He had appeared to Mary Magdalene at the tomb, though she thought he was a mere gardener. Jesus then journeyed with two disciples on their way out of Jerusalem to the west to the village of Emmaus, several hours worth of walking, talking with them all the way. Jesus then made his return back to Jerusalem to appear to his remaining disciples. How did Jesus find them? Locked up tight, secured away behind locked doors. They did not know what the rest of the Jewish leadership had in store for the followers of Jesus, the man that they had just had crucified. Even so, Jesus came and stood right in the middle of them. No entry through some locked door, no secret entrance through an open window. But Jesus, in his fully exalted state, is now free to use his complete power as God. And so he simply became present right in their midst. And his first words to those frightened disciples, following their abandonment of him in his time of need, "Peace be with you," showing them his hands and his side with the nail marks and the spear gash still freshly present, Jesus revealed to them the very source of their newfound peace with God, his crucified and his risen self. True peace with God comes only through Jesus the Savior. More concrete evidence of the resurrected Jesus, flesh and blood body, to touch, to feel. And on top of that, one of Jesus' disciples was missing that first Easter night. The same one who had told Jesus not long before that they did not know where Jesus was going. How could they then know the way? The same disciple who knew that Jesus' arrival into Jerusalem, that Passover time, would spell the deaths of his disciples as well. He has picked up a nickname throughout history, that of Doubting Thomas, though the scriptures never truly call him that. John's gospel actually calls Thomas the unbelieving one, or the no faith guy. Thomas was a disciple who liked to weigh his options. He certainly did not wish to rush into death, but nor did he want the same for Jesus, his master. Thomas had a skeptical and a cautious personality. And for some unknown reason, Thomas was not with the other 10 that first Easter night. John tells us, though, that those disciples who were there made it a point to tell Thomas what they had seen. "We have seen the Lord." They gave him 10 eyewitness accounts of the resurrected Jesus in bodily form in their midst. Yet Thomas makes this bold and cold statement. "Unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails, and place my finger into the mark of the nails, and place my hand into his side, I will never believe." Even the most hardened atheist could scarcely do better than Thomas. But Thomas gets his wish. Jesus has chosen him to be one of his witnesses. in Judea, in Samaria, and into all the ends of the earth. And as an apostle of the church, Thomas certainly needed to be an eyewitness to the resurrected Jesus. So our Lord, in his wisdom, singles Thomas out, puts him on the spot, calling him from unbelief to full faith and trust in Jesus again. Peace be with you. Put your finger here and see my hands. Put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe. Thomas would no doubt go on to be a great eyewitness of the resurrected Jesus, and church tradition has him starting the Christian church in the country of India. His story would be retold many times over through his own accounts, but even his failures would be included. Failures to believe in Jesus. He would be preserved for generations to come. Two appearances to his disciples, both on Sunday evenings. A specific appearance to Thomas, who was now with the disciples again. This is just the beginning of what Jesus was about to do. Jesus set out to make a rock-solid case for his resurrection from the dead. So many people who saw Jesus alive and well. The emptiness of the tomb, the word of this, all preserved in writing, all combining together to make a rather convincing case for the resurrection of our Lord. Add to those things the very dramatic change of disciples who were hiding in a locked room for fear of the Jews, being changed into the bold proclaimers of the gospel, willing to suffer any and all consequences that would come their way for proclaiming Jesus. And the presence of the holy Christian church today that remains here even in this time leads to a highly persuasive case for our Lord's return from the dead. This is truly such good news for us and for every people. For in this resurrection of Jesus is the victory over sin and over death. Jesus alone has fully handled the problem of our sin. What we owe God for our treason, our treachery, our rebellion against Him. And Jesus alone is the first fruit of those who will rise from the dead. Forgiveness of all sins, eternal life, salvation, all sealed in the victory of Jesus and given freely in water, in bread, and in wine. If the Savior of the world rose again from the dead, but no one was there to witness it. Did he really rise? Thanks be to God. The answer is a resounding yes. And blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. Amen. The peace that passes all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. This time I will invite our five new adult confirmants to come forward, bringing their hymnals with them, of course, and the congregation's invited to join with us on page 272 for this rite of confirmation.